Welcome to the Multifamily Zone, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from the family perspective. Now, here are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro.
Hey everyone, this is Julia Barbara, host of the Multifamily Zone podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host Gino Barbaro.
Hey Julia.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good.
What's this week's show all about?
So we wanted to kind of recap 2020. And I want to get your thoughts on it and, you know, kind of your aha, as you put,
moments. There's so many aha moments. First thing is, we actually completed a full year of the Multifamily Zone podcast, which is an achievement in and of itself, correct?
That's a big deal. That really is.
That's just going from someone who was camera shy, who is petrified of speaking to people, and I'm talking about myself, of course, and just to be able to get on a show every 2 weeks and creating a show and serving the listeners and just sharing our story. I mean, 2020 started out normal. I mean, I was blessed and fortunate to actually have sold my restaurant in February. I was up in New York at the end of February. We did a closing. I come back 2 weeks later and it seems like the world has changed forever. But for us, and I look back, I was also fortunate because I really have been preparing my whole life for what's transpired over the last year. And we can really jump into this, but I really took care of my financial house. My financial house has been in order for the last few years. So I want everyone on this podcast, as you're listening to it, take 2020 and really look back at it and reflect. And what did you learn about 2020? What can you control and what can't you control? But what happened in 2020?
Well, yeah, it's definitely been an interesting year because there's been a lot of quiet time, I guess I could say, right? Because we had a lot of time to reflect, to realize what we're putting all our energy into. You know, I have to say that I was a little too obsessed in a sense of with the news and watching the news at nighttime. I just loved it. But I actually ended up completely shutting it out and stopped watching it altogether.
So what happens when you do that? You're on the news, yeah. and you're watching it all the time. Talk to me about that.
So what I noticed, and I really noticed it last night, was that sound, that noise that's in the house, that loud noise of just someone else talking is very distracting to your thoughts and just in general. So last night we turned the TV off. We watched one show. What did we watch last night?
We watched White Collar.
White Collar. We watched one show.
She's not even paying attention to the show.
We turned it off and it was so peaceful. And even though the kids were there and they were making a little noise, trying to go to sleep, whatever, it was just very peaceful and you could hear your thoughts. And I think that's what is missing in a lot of us, is that there's so much noise going on all around us that we can't actually just stop and just hear what's going on in our mind because we have so many distractions. And I think that's what this year has brought me, is just a little bit more peace and quiet.
So what it's brought me is the realization that when you're watching news and you're on social media, you're on somebody else's agenda. They're creating your agenda. You're not setting your own agenda. When I shut it off, and when I look back at March and April of 2020, all the experts were saying doom and gloom and they were giving certain predictions and a lot of people have suffered, but there's a lot of businesses that have really exploded, right? Have gotten really, really busy. What we didn't do is we didn't overreact and decide to like fire everybody and let's cut back. We just let things roll out and transpire. I think one of the things of 2020 and going beyond, if you're in business or even with family, you cannot over-communicate. There's no such thing as over-communication, whether it's with your team members, whether it's with your children, your wife, your spouse, whatever that is, you need to constantly over-communicate and let people know what you're thinking. I think the other thing that really bothered me about this year, more than anything, was the judgmental part. Everyone is on Facebook and on social media and they're all judging each other without facts. I mean, emotions are overriding the day to day. Let's use logic with a lot of these things, people. Let's not show hatred. use logic, reserve the emotions. If we're going to make a statement, let's have at least some facts to back it up. And yes, numbers can lie. You know, when you're looking at certain things, numbers, you can make the numbers fudge your way. Get out of the groupthink. Get out of what everyone else in your corner is saying just to agree with you. Go listen to the other side and see what the other side is saying. Have empathy for the other side and see what they're saying. And you may learn something from the other side.
Yeah, what I did notice, you know, from going out is there's a lot of fear. And, you know, we've talked about fear before on the podcast. We talk about it kind of quite often. But really, fear is, it really can take over. It can take over and like blind us from reality. It's kind of interesting how prevalent that is right now in society, fear. And, you know, it's almost like you can't even have a conversation with someone because they can't get past that fear. So if there is something, this is a good time, I think, especially just with all that's going on, is just to sit back and say, what am I really afraid of? And because sometimes we're just afraid in general. And the question is, we have to get clarity on what we're afraid of. What are you afraid of? And how are you acting? How are you acting with that? Because that's really the key of overcoming that fear.
So I always bring myself back to when I was working at the restaurant. I was afraid back then also of a lot of things, afraid of the unknown, afraid of stepping out of my comfort zone and saying, if I embark on a new adventure, a new journey, am I going to pay the bills? Am I going to do the right thing? And that fear really paralyzed me. And until I got angry, I was angry this beginning of this pandemic. I was really, anger took me over. And I'm like, I'm not going to be afraid of this because I don't know what it is. Nobody knows what it is. We still haven't gotten the answers yet. You try to do the best you can with the information that you have. I had anger as an overriding emotion also, and anger spurs you into action. Now, obviously, Julie and I have talked about the 6 stages of energy. You can go back to a previous podcast that we did about it, talking from catabolic energy to the anabolic levels of energy, going from a victim them all the way up to like feeling fully gratified, going through those 6 stages. And most of the people that I see in the US right now are in level one or level two. They're either victims or they're really angry. If you're at that level, you come up with no solutions. There haven't been any solutions throughout this pandemic, only blaming, only castigating blame. So look at yourself, look within what you can control, what you can't control. We've had a really good year with the properties that we're managing. We've had a good year with the Jake and Gino community. We've signed up so many amazing students who are looking to take that next step. So if you're engaging in fear, there's nothing wrong with it because we are all there. But just realize that with fear, you're not going to take action. It's really holding you back. Until you get angry, you get clarity about your situation. I always say to the students, people don't lack focus. They don't lack motivation. They lack clarity. If you're not clear about what's going on, you're not going to be motivated. Once you can set up a plan, and I'll talk about, you know, the three steps plan that I have for setting goals for the new year, because it's important. Start setting your goals right now and don't make them New Year's resolutions because those don't stick. They really have to, when you start formulating goals, they really have to make sense to you. They have to be exciting because if they're not exciting, you're not going to really get up in the morning to do your goals. I was listening to Jim Rome yesterday and he said, you know, people ask me why I get up in the morning. Well, basically he said, well, if you know where I was going, you'd be getting up early in the morning too. That's how you should feel about your goals, being energized, knowing that you're striving towards something greater and having a little bit of fear is going to hold you back. Get angry and get clear about what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah, the goal settings, you know, of course, is super important and obviously, but sometimes we have this great picture in our mind and it's very common. And I know everyone else knows that when New Year's comes, we're all going to lose 20 pounds and we're all, you know, we have this big goal in mind and it usually lasts probably a week or so, you know, and it's just the small things. It's just, instead of saying, I want that, how about just, I want to be a healthier person. You know, general, I want to be a better wife. Okay. How am I going to do that? What am I going to do?
I can tell you
exactly. And that's one of the things is we could actually ask the other person, hey, how can I be a better wife or mother, whatever it is. That's actually a great, great idea. I like that. Because sometimes the answers are so simple that we forget that sometimes just ask somebody.
So one of the amazing things for me in 2020, I was lucky to be surrounded by the Jake and Gino community. Mm-hmm. It was held me accountable. I mean, I can give you countless examples of going to multiple boot camps, on-site events, when I was feeling a little low, a little lackluster, not have enough energy, losing my why, I would go to the event, on the weekend. Mm-hmm. We were in California in November. It was amazing to meet the students out there and to be able to network. Also, the weekly lessons. We were on a weekly lesson with a gentleman named Luke Wren on one of the Jake and Gina lessons. He was amazing. He talked about goal setting. He talked about your why. And, you know, when I get up in the morning now, you know, if you're fearful, gratitude will crush fear. I got up this morning, wasn't feeling that great. Back's bothering me a little bit, but you know what? I'm grateful that I got up. I have a plan going on today. It's Christmas week right now of this recording. Got all my presents done. I think my wife is done shopping. So that's another big win. I'm grateful for that. But I'm also grateful that I'm able to buy gifts for my family, right? I'm grateful that Josh is here. I'm grateful that my family's here. We're going to be able to spend time for this week. So starting out in the morning and being grateful, that's what Luke was talking about. Also, he mentioned something, and I think everyone should really take heed to this, what he said. He says he has something called the five to thrive. Five things that really define you as a person and what you want to uphold. And if you have these things and you think about them, you commit to them, all of a sudden they become part of your identity. And my five to thrive is being relentless. That's why I didn't give up at all during this year, because I don't want to go back to the restaurant. I don't want to go back to a life of counting pennies, right? I don't want that. So I'm going to be relentless. I am committed. I'm committed to what I'm doing here. I'm going to figure it out. I commit to things and then I figure it out. I am caring. My wife knows that I'm caring, right?
Yes.
I'm charitable. Really, I am charitable. I'm trying to give away more of my time, more of my treasure. I'm trying to help people become more financially free through the Youth Academy. And ultimately, the last one is grateful, right? I'm grateful for what I have. And I'm starting off every morning with that gratitude. Gratitude will crush fear. So what are your five to thrive? Think about five things that define you, memorize them, and start living by those five and start, you know, focusing and moving towards those five.
Yeah, I think it's important. And I'm speaking to all everyone listening right now, is that I've never, you know, through my whole life, I never really thought about these things before.
Why not?
Because it never, nobody ever mentioned it to me. I guess I never heard it before. Maybe you did and I didn't hear you, but
you were financially free. You didn't need that, right?
Yeah, but this is really to be a better person. This mm-hmm. is different. You know, this is not financially, I mean, yours can be, but mine's really not. You know, we're always striving to be a little bit better and it's challenging, but sometimes we just never think about it. So here's your opportunity to really think about it and do something about it, decide to do something. So my five things is first to be authentic. And this is really important, especially in the social media world these days where everyone's posting these perfect pictures of themselves, this perfect life, perfect marriage, family, finances, everything is so lovey-dovey that you can't live up to it. And I'm just here to tell you that that's just not real. And I'm sure you've heard it before, but we've all have issues. We all have insecurities that we don't like, but to be the real you is what everyone really truly wants in you. And I'm talking about the people that know you and love you the most. They want to know the real you. Your spouse wants to know the real you, your children, you know, your siblings, your parents, your good friends. Be authentic, because, you know, that's what I expect from my husband. I don't want to hear the you know, he comes in the room and pretends everything's fine. I really want to know what's going on. I really want to be there with him and, you know, go through this journey of life with him. The next one is to have hope. This is a big deal because, you know, when we ask God to guide us in life, we have hope that he will. And I know he will. So just to carry that hope along is super, super important. Because I know that God is part of the future. And I know that he knows better than I do. And also the trust in God, but also trust in your spouse. If you're married, trust in your family to help you. Because we need people. We need people in life to get through, especially the hard times right now, right? The next one is gratitude, like Gino had mentioned. Sometimes we can point out all the things that are going on, especially now, all the difficult times. I mean, we complain a lot, but sometimes we just have to stop and just be thankful and have gratitude for the good things that are going on, even if they're small. I think it's something worth to talk about. What are you grateful for? And then my last one is just say yes. If someone asks you for something, even if it's something small, say yes, I can help you. You know, let me know how I can help, because it's just that charitable mindset of giving. And you know, I don't expect something in return. It's always nice, but saying yes to that person makes a difference.
So it's important about that last one, say yes. I don't think my wife even dove into it as much as she should have, because when you say yes to somebody, that means you have an abundance mindset. Think of all the people in your life that are always constant. No, you can't do that. No, 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 it's not possible. Well, when you say yes, you're telling your mind, yes, I can do it out. Your mind is not going to make you wrong. If you think you can't do something, guess what? You're not going to be able to do it. But if you see the possibility, if you see the abundance mm-hmm. of that mindset that you can do it, you're going to sit there and focus on it and try to figure that out. So that's really, really, really important that you do that.
You know, that's really important that you mentioned that. I'm glad you did. Because it when we say yes, sometimes we don't have the how am I going to do it, but I'm still going to do
it.
And that's something to remember, is when we do say yes to somebody, then we say, okay, what is possible in this situation? What are my options? What are my steps? What does the outline look like? You know, who are you helping? These are all important to remember, if it is possible, what are you going to do?
So I want everyone listening right now, just think of some of the problems that they've encountered over the last 6 months, 8 months, last year, and think of the opportunities now. As you reflect back, what are the opportunities that came out of that? For us in the property management, our problem was we couldn't have people coming into the office, employees, residents coming in. So our opportunity was we created virtual leasing. We didn't have that before. We were trying to do it. Now, all of a sudden, that came to the forefront and we ended up doing. So that problem was usurped by the opportunity to create something to crush that. Another problem in investing in multifamily, very hard to find deals. That's a problem out there for a lot of operators, a lot of people investing. Well, where's the opportunity? The opportunity is to work on other parts of the business, right? Let's start working on our systems. Let's start working on our culture and our core values. Let's start working on what we have at the property management company, our customer journey, our customer experience. Let's start working on our internal systems, whether it's our key performance indicators, the way we have meetings, the way we're making our properties more profitable. Maybe now is also the time to sell a couple of deals, which we've done, take some money off the table and stack some cash. So right now you're in it, and it's never the right time to get into real estate, whether it's too high, then there's not enough deals, but there's a lot of money. And then there's a ton of deals. There's no money. It's never the right time, unless you figure out it's the right time for yourself. So look back and look at all those, you know, problems that came with opportunities. Even for us on the Jake and Gino side, the mentorship is a great investment, but it is an investment in yourself. Maybe at this part of the time, a lot of people can't afford that investment. What we've done, we've made our fulfillment a lot better. We've launched Jake and Gino Present. We're coming out with a new book in February. We have students writing blog articles for us. We're really working on our podcasts and our podcast guests. We're working on internal systems. So just because you can't do something doesn't mean you can't figure out other things to do in your business. Most of us will go, well, you know what? No deals. I'm done. I'm out. Well, how about going out there and it's time to start raising capital and create relationships? Oh, I can't get together. Well, there's something called Zoom, Z-O-O-M. You can start doing things virtually, right? You can start meeting people on GoToWebinar. You can start creating meetup groups, whatever that is. It will pass. But for the time being, people who are fearful don't know what to do, but people who are angry and are committed will figure out the next step to take.
Yeah, no, that's important. Because what are we doing in this time right now, especially with the new year? What have we decided to change about ourselves for the better? And even if it's something small, we could choose to just take one step towards that change, or to something that we've been putting off, just take one step. Because once we take a step, then we start walking. And I think that's something to know. It's that first step is the hardest, I find, because you're afraid and you're like, well, what if I fail? And, you know, again, we've talked about this multiple times on a podcast, is that, so what if you fail? You learn so much from that. Just try it anyway. Do it anyway. If you fail, you learn what not to do next time, what to do differently. It's important to just take the step. So I just encourage everyone out there, you know, what are you holding back on? Just take that step.
So for me, what was important was even starting this podcast, doing it with my wife, partner up with somebody. Find somebody who's like-minded, who you have the same values and the same beliefs and the same goals, and partner up. Because when there's two of you or three of you, when one of you is feeling a little down, a little low, I went into the kitchen right now, 15 minutes ago. I said, hey, Jewel, we got to go. She goes, oh, it's 12 o'clock. It's not ready yet, right? So it's 11:45. I'm like, it's 11:45. Let's go. We got to do it. So you know what? You get her spirits up. You get your partner going. You keep your partner held accountable. Like I said, Julia, we have to really schedule these podcasts. Sometimes we don't feel like doing it, but you know, one of us is always there. You know, it's, you know, I think my wife in another podcast had mentioned sometimes one of the partners, spouses, is off a little bit. Well, there's the other one to pick that person up. It's the same thing in business. I mean, right now, Jake can be going through something and, you know, he's really busy. He's touring properties. Well, it's time for me to step it up in another area of the business. So that's something that I think we really need to look at.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I love to be out and about and just if someone, I never would normally do this in my life until recently. But if, you know, even if I'm online, at the cashier is ringing me up and looks down, looks upset or whatever, I sometimes will say something and it really does lift their spirits. And I'm sure it does change. You know, there's some cheesy commercials out there about just holding the door for someone. Just those basic acts of kindness do change people for the whole day. And we're all able to do that if we choose to. So yes, it goes, you know, in the family, it definitely makes a difference between spouses and children, but you can also make a difference just out there in the world, just at the grocery store, you know, who knows, at a restaurant, you can say something nice to someone, especially when they're not looking. And it really does make a difference in people. And you notice it, that you do it more often after a while.
I like that.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Hey, Wheelbarrow Profits family, are you struggling with ways of teaching your kids about money and financial literacy? Gino, I think we have something to help them. Tell them about it.
We've been hard at work creating the Jake and Gino Youth Academy. The Academy takes a deep dive into good money habits, setting up a budget, investing, taxes, the difference between an asset and a liability, and so much more. This is a great opportunity to spend time with your children, to be their role model when it comes to money and investing, and learn how to set them on the right path to financial success.
If you want more information on how you can become the next Youth Academy member, visit www.jakeandgino.com/education. to begin your journey to financial freedom.
As we like to say at Jake and Gino, people with financial intelligence can change the world for the better. Now, Julia, these next few minutes, I really want to spend on, you know, goal setting. And when I first started goal setting, I thought it was, let me just put a goal up there and I'll hit it. Then it's the next goal. It's like you're on a hamster wheel. It's like the road to nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I wish I'd known this 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 years ago, where reading a book on neuro-linguistic programming, and they break goals down into 3 types of goals, especially if you're in sports. And this is going to really help everybody out there when they have these big picture goals. The first one is the outcome goal. You know, what is your outcome? Maybe for an athlete, it's to win, you know, an Olympic medal, or it's to, you know, win the World Series, whatever it is. For me, my outcome goal, when I first was in the restaurant and I wanted to get out of it, my outcome goal is to become financially free. That is your why. What is your why? It's got to be strong. It's got to be exciting. The problem is most of us stop there, right? That's the why. Okay, financially free. They don't even know where to start because they've never been coached. They never have time with a business coach. They don't know how to set these goals. We start at the outcome and then we stop at the outcome. Now, if I had done that, I wouldn't be here right now. I intuitively did the second one, which is the performance goal. You know, really the what, how do you figure it out? Start putting metrics in. What, you know, what do you need to do? What did I need to make every month to become financially free? I need to make $10,000 a month or $20,000 a month in real estate to do that. Set performance goals, set those goals out that you need. And then the process is the third one, the how. How are you going to do it? For me, I had to buy one deal a year or 2 deals a year, cash flowing $100 per door, whatever that looks like. You need to reverse engineer and figure out how to do it. And people get lost in that. They only think about, you know, the outcome of it, but really there's a lot of work into reverse engineering it. And I think along the way, you need to really celebrate these wins. Because what happens is for people who are type A or really out there, really working at a high level, they sometimes just forget about the journey. You know, they become a person they need to be to hit that goal. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I became the person I need to be financially free. That should be the goal itself, that person that you became, whether it was more educated, whether it was being more grateful, whether it was being a high-level performer. Then they don't even think about that. Then they're setting the next goal. So as you're setting goals, think about, you know, why you're setting these goals. Why do you want to do what you're doing, right? Then, like I said, the second one is the performance, what you need to do. And then the third one is the process. How many deals do you need to underwrite to become financially free, or to take a deal down? How many investors do you need to speak to? How many markets do you need to visit? How many broker calls do you need to make? How many property tours? You start reverse engineering all of that. And it may be daunting, but let me tell you, now is the time to do it. The beginning of the year, what are your goals for this year? I've already set goals for this entire year. I look back at last year. I hit the vast majority of my goals last year. And a lot of my goals right now aren't just money or financial goals or even number of unit goals. It's really more internal, as far as how many students are closing deals, how many students can become financially free. Those are my goals, because I know that becoming financially free, the more value that I can create for others, the more money that I'm going to make. Money is just a result. Mm-hmm. And I think that one thing that I wrote down, I think was from James Clear, that results are a lagging indicator of success. It's amazing how in the last 12 to 18 months, I've been pretty successful. It's not just success came up. It's a lagging result. I've been working so hard for the last 3 to 4 to 5 years that all of a sudden the results are showing up. It takes time to become successful. There's no such thing as an overnight success. You need to put the work in, and then you put the work in, nothing happens. And you put the work in, nothing happens. It's like the conveyor belt of real estate. You get into real estate, into multifamily. Your first year, you may not buy a deal. You may buy one deal. Okay, year one, not much to show. All those calls, all those relationships, all those interviews with investors, you may not have a lot to show, but then after 12 months, you may have that first deal. It's on the conveyor belt. It's going to year two. Maybe year two, you buy another deal or another two deals or another three deals. Then it's on the conveyor belt. Year three, all of a sudden, the results start showing up from year one and year two. So don't be discouraged if you're putting in all that work and it's really hard and those results aren't there. They will come.
That's really good advice. I have to tell you, I kind of glaze over. That was all real estate.
I saw your eyes. You're like, yeah. And it wasn't just, I'm not just talking about real estate.
No,
I'm talking
about, sometimes I can't relate when you talk about, I don't know why. I think I just tune you out when you talk.
I didn't mention cap rates, cash on cash returns. All I mentioned was my goal setting for real estate. So what is your
See, my advice? Challenge with goals is this, is sometimes I decide something different halfway through.
That's fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Okay.
But then why did you change it? Or what are you trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
I mean, my overarching goal of being financially free is okay. And that's the thing. So last year, I had one of my goals was to sell one of our properties, right?
Okay.
Listen, don't glaze over. This is important. We didn't sell the property because market changed and we weren't going to get the price we wanted to. Plus, mm-hmm. we're going to take a big capital gains tax hit. So what did we do? We refinanced the property. We still got a liquidity event from it. The goal changed of keeping it because something, all of a sudden, it was an emerging market. More jobs are coming in the area. The property's going to be worth more in the long run. Right now, we don't want to go to a flight to cash because this is an easier property to manage. It's smaller, but that was our goal. It's okay for goals to change, but you need to revisit them.
Yeah.
You need to focus on them and you need to be clear on why you're setting them, and you can change them,
right?
There's nothing wrong with changing.
So here's my thing is I do have goals as far as coaching and working with you and all that I do. But my problem with that I have is once I set them, I start taking those steps toward it. And then my life as mother gets in the way. And then I'm like, all right, where are my priorities? So you're constantly trying to figure out how to balance.
Your values.
Yes. My values get in the way.
Figure out your values first. If your values are, I need to be a mom first and foremost, that's your value. My values, I need to be an entrepreneur and I need to provide for the family. Yeah. What do I need to do?
Yeah.
So then everything else, it comes back to that. And my values are set on that. So,
yeah. So values are important. And sometimes we do get excited about, you know, I could tell you for me personally, I get excited to do things like just this podcast or go with Gino to a boot camp. All that stuff is exciting to me. And I just get so much value out of it. And it's incredible to see everyone and speak to everyone. But sometimes then I sit back and I'm like, but now I'm away from my kids. And, you know, is that the right thing? So I do have this.
So pivot your values, yeah. Bring your kids with you.
No, we do. You okay. know, we do.
I know that, but I'm just saying there's always a compromise. There's always a way
there is.
To figure it out.
Yes. But even the time at home spent on preparing also, it's kind of like a yeah.
You're making excuses.
I'm not
right
making
now.
Excuses.
Yes,
real.
You are.
Because we've dealt with it before. So it is real.
So and then I have school. How are you dealing with it now?
Well, I do little by little. And okay. I feel like I don't get stuff accomplished like I want to.
Like what are you not accomplishing that you want to accomplish?
Well, we're trying, I really want to write a parent book with you. And I think that's super important to get that message out.
It's not a big enough why yet. When it's a big enough yeah. why, you'll sit down and go, well, I really need to get this message out to people. I really see people struggling.
I coach a lot of students. I feel that already. But my issue is, you know, we've dealt with that already with the cookbook where it was too much time away. And we had an issue with my daughter who asked me never, ever to do that again.
So right now I'm having an issue with you because you're making excuses because we can get a ghostwriter. There's other ways of doing it. True. So everyone listening, you can hear my wife. I'm not going to coach her.
You can
because
coach me.
I would
that's
ask
what I'm
her questions.
Ask
but
me
I'm gonna,
a question.
I'm going to tell her exactly what she's doing wrong. She's procrastinating. It's not a big enough why. Yeah. She's making excuses. If it was a big enough why that she had this burning desire and it was a really... If this goal was exciting to her and she had an end to it, she'd be like, you know what? We're writing this book, Gino. I'm writing books right now with a company called Scribe. We already have the process worked out. We have Bill Hamm, who's written an amazing book, and we're launching the book in the next 6 weeks, right? We already have that process. So what I'm hearing from Julia, she's making excuses. Are you guys out there making the same excuses as my wife? Do you have enough clarity on your goals? Have you written them down? Do you have the outcome of what you want to achieve from the goal? Do you have the performance of what you need to do? Do you have the process of filling it out? It'll take you between 6 months and a year at least to write this book. 3 to 6 months to write it, then another 6 months with the publishing and all. So it's a long-term goal, like buying multifamily. Don't glaze your eyes over. It takes a long time before you buy that first deal, and then it takes a long time to buy those big goals need to be written down. They need to have focus. That's why most people quit. They don't have the energy behind that goal. They don't have the focus of why they're doing it. If I didn't have that energy and focus behind getting into multifamily, becoming financially free, I would have quit after the 30th broker told me no, and y'all ain't doing business down here. I would have left, but I didn't leave because I had the focus and the clarity of why I was trying to achieve that goal.
Yeah. So that was a moment of my weakness right there. Isn't
was,
that great?
Huh?
I actually like that came out because I like to tell other people that I have them.
That's why you got
I
me,
have
baby.
Many, many, many of them. No, but we all have them, and Gino has them too. And you know, we do play that reverse role sometimes, where he's kind of, you know, can't get to it. I don't know what to do, and I'm yelling at him.
Well, right
you
now,
do it. You know what I mean. I think that's the great thing about marriage.
The thought about writing a parenting book is so overwhelming to me. As she was saying it, I'm like, there we go again.
I have great ideas.
I was just thinking, and if Whitney Stenziano is listening to this, babe, I was thinking, whenever you hear the spouse saying that, it's like, uh-oh, what's next? It's usually buying something, right? Not writing a book.
Okay, so it used to be buying things or doing things money-wise. Now, for some reason lately, I have these great ideas for him. And he just gets so frustrated. He's like, why did you have to say that? Because now I have to do it. And, you know... So that's kind of better. At least I'm helping you somewhat make money in a sense.
It was so everyone out there, I think, can relate. When you get a thought or a great idea, it is overwhelming. Just step back, because then you get into victim and anger mentality. The victim is level one. All of a sudden, woe is me. I don't have the time. Where do I start? You're not going to have any solutions that way. That's when maybe you got to get on a call with the coach or significant other or partner and say, how do we do that? Not can we do that, right? Say yes to the opportunity, especially if it's a cool opportunity. My wife is still no, maybe, but say yes to that opportunity. I'm going to say maybe right now because I got to put it on the burner because I'm writing a couple of other
books.
It's
okay. But... It's already in your head. So we're already doing it. I already suggested it right now. So that means next year.
I'm going to give people some tips and of what we're trying to accomplish for the new year, what we've learned for 2020, what we're going to bring to 2021, and we'll share what we're thinking about. And I want you guys to think about what you're going to do to make 2021 an even better year. The first one for us, seek to serve, is really important. Not give to get. When you seek to serve others, you're not expecting anything in return. Things come back to you tenfold. When you're looking to give something to get something in return, there's a lot of difference. So be out there, seek to serve, provide value. when you provide value to people and you're not just chasing money, you're going to get a lot back. All of a sudden that money will come back to you once again, tenfold. Get your finances in order. 2021 is the year to start putting some money on the side, start becoming financially intelligent, start creating a budget for yourself, start having reserves. So if something like this ever happens again, you don't have to scramble. You don't have to feel despair, despondent because, wow, what's going to happen with my financial future? Having 3 to 6 months, probably 6 months now, of money on the side that you can live if you don't lose a job, or if maybe you want to quit your W-2 job and go into a full-time endeavor, create your own business, that may give you the opportunity. Judge less. See where others are coming from. This one's huge for me because when you get online and you're listening to some people and the stuff that they write, you don't know what they've gone through. Try not to judge them and try to meet them where they're coming from. Have empathy from their situation. And, you know, this is when we just talk about the goal setting. Be open to pivoting. You know, not working, do something different, right? If your goals are there and all of a sudden your goals change, that's okay. You're growing as a person. They may become bigger. Maybe we write a series of child books, right? Maybe we write a series of financial education for kids. It's okay. And if it doesn't, if it's just overwhelming, set up in quarterly priorities and put it in the parking lot, as we like to say. Maybe move it to 2022, but keep it on the radar. There's nothing wrong with, you know, pivoting and changing your mm-hmm. your goals.
No, those are all really, really good. And I think everyone out there, including me, just has to kind of reevaluate what is important this year and what our priorities are. Write them down. Write the reason why, which is so important, because sometimes we don't even in our mind know why we're doing certain things. So to get clarity is really, really, really important.
Any that final
was
words?
That was really great. No, I just think, you know, keep going and surround yourself with people that are encouraging you, because that, you know, in and itself is, as you can see, when I was talking about this, my husband, I needed him to be there to talk to me. And I think that's important for everyone, to just have that person who knows you, but is uplifting to you and is honest with you and is able to push you in the direction that they know you're capable of.
I want to say congrats to all the students in the Jake and Gino community who have closed a deal over the last 12 months. There's a lot of them. I mean, right now, I think we have over 12,000 units closed in the community and counting every day. They have made the excuse. They've put in the hard work. I think put in the hard work for 2021, because 2021 is going to be hard, challenging like 2020 was, but you're going to grow and you're going to really experience some really cool things in this year. There's going to be a lot of different changes going on, but it's going to be exciting. Look at all of your problems and take a look and see how you can create them into opportunities. And we're going to continue with the Multifamily Zone podcast. So we just want to thank you for being part of the Jake and Gino community and part of the Multifamily Zone podcast. And if you have any questions, just email Julia. It's juliabarbero@gmail.com. And listen, 2021 was great. Let's make 2021 even better. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.